botany example there. University of Wisconsin, 1972. That's when I learned that lesson. We'll call our meeting to order. We have Supervisor Day and his excuse. He's, I think, still traveling. He called today. And one of our youth governance is here, one is not. The rest of us are here. Approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
Supervisor Franklin.
Johnson.
All were Mr. Franklin, Paul. No, missing two. So if all have received the minutes and anybody has had a chance to go through them, if we could have the motion to approve the meeting minutes.
Motion by the minutes.
Motion by Supervisor Gilmore. Second by Supervisor Gray. Any discussion? If not, all of the fair youth governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Chairman, committee members, Supervisor. Well, I guess we can't go begin this meeting without talking about Saturday. The impression that I got from my own family was, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't know it was going to be this big. They would have, they thought they were going to be there for an hour, and they thought they were going to be bored. And then they just all disappeared between the children, and my wife and I were there. We were still watching Sam Lannis there at midway through, and we had to head out, unfortunately, but Mr. Collins, that was just phenomenal, what you pulled off there, and what your staff, I know that you didn't do it alone, but I also know that you did the coordination, and you got those people, the sponsors, to go from one end of the park to the other, which we did, we walked, and from the bouncy houses all the way down, to see the enthusiasm of the people and the people working, and to see the connection that everybody was having. I didn't see anybody without a smile on their face, and the crowd was so spread that when you were at the beer garden and listening to a fantastic band, like when Sam Lannis came up, you said, man, I thought there'd be more people. Then you realized there was people everywhere in that park. So you did a heck of a job, and I know that you've been told this, and I told you that day and that evening, but everything that I heard, I couldn't be prouder of what you did, and you should be very proud, and everyone that was involved. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was quite an event, and Ray and everybody that was out there. So well received by everyone. So now, if you're here in 10 years, now what are you going to do?
Bigger and better.
We're going to be at 100. We're going to expect really something.
I got 10 years to plan.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you literally did all this with your family, because I'm sure they suffered here.
They joined me.
Yeah, no, but I know the kind of time that you put in, and it was phenomenal. It was just phenomenal. So that's all I wanted to discuss this evening. We talked about the floods, we talked about all the good and the bad, and what the staff tell about everything that's going on here with all our work going on this summer. So any other supervisors review the government sending comments? If not, we'll go on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that would like to approach or comment to the committee on anything? We'll move on. Division reports. We'll begin with Mike.
Okay, starting with ongoing projects. There's three on the list today. First one is the County Center fire alarm panel. That project is ongoing, and that's all to report for that one. Starting this week, and we're expecting it to take 1 week. We had some trouble with parts lining up, and it was delayed for a couple weeks, but finally got started today, so it should rip off pretty good. Second project is the Molinaro Boiler Replacement Project. We've been getting started on that project as far as pre-construction, and now we just received bids Friday. It came in at $52,950, and it was awarded to Just Service, a company that's done a lot of work for us, good contractor. So now we're waiting for a pre-construction meeting with them, and we'll get started on that. The third one is a new one. It's actually been in, I guess we'll call it pre-construction, for a couple years. It's a generator project for the job center. It first started out with IT wanting to emergency power the main distribution closet for them, and then it quickly morphed into a couple other things for the whole building when we had a few power outages, kind of a wish list thing. Got really big, we added some money a second year, and then we finally got into the meat of it this year and vetted it out a little bit more, and worked with John Jansen quite a bit, and discovered that ultimately in the end, we didn't need it. So we're canceling that project.
Yeah, I want to say a little echo a little bit of what Mike said there, because it really comes down to John's staff in Human Services developing some really effective workarounds so that they can maintain all the critical level of services, the critical services they need to when there is power outages. They've got things in place to do all that. So at the end of the day, when Mike worked with the electrical engineer, it was going to cost us to do a very basic system because of how spread out and disparate the electrical infrastructure is in that building, because of how way it's been developed over the years. It would have cost us about $100,000, and at the end of the day, the only real benefit we would have had is that the refrigerators in the health department would have remained powered, so they wouldn't have had to take the medicine out in the event of a power outage and bring it somewhere else. So we couldn't, and all of the other critical services could be maintained, and that was literally it. So we were gonna, it came down to really looking at $100,000 to be able to power two refrigerators. They have a protocol in place that in the event they do lose power for X amount of time, they bring them stuff out here to the refrigerators out here at the health department here. So we did not think at the end of the day it was a wise use of money given everything John's staff was able to put in place. So we just wanted to report that to the committee. That did really made no sense to pursue it any further.
Those refrigerators have alarms and sensors that dial out an emergency number and say the temperature is dropping, you must have something wrong with the fridge or the power's out. You know, if it gets to a certain point, they got to get those out of their refrigerator, they lose all the serums. So yeah, that was really the big one. So, is that questions on it? Yeah.
What else is out there in the job center besides just the job center health departments? Got a bunch of other lessees.
The big one that really drove it first to the higher level was the need to monitor a 24/7 call-in bank for emergencies for youth and crisis situations. And that was kind of a wish list thing by all of them out there too, but when we really got into it, you know, I said, well, what are you guys doing now? And does it work? And they basically have cell phones that they transfer their desk line to, and somebody always on call to their cell phone on the weekend, and it worked just fine. And, you know, I talked to JJ about it quite a bit, and he says, you know what, that works just fine. We don't need to do this. So, you know, to do that, to put a generator in there and a sizable one, and then maintain it with all the ATS switches and, you know, obsolescence in 15 years, just hard to justify. So couldn't pull the trigger. So that's the ongoing list, the focus on energy list. Not terribly a lot to update. I added the Molinaro boiler replacement project that I just talked about onto the top of the list. You guys have some incomplete data on the top line. I think yours shows that there's an annual savings of $900 in energy dollars every year. Focus on energy incentive is $900 once the project's complete. And then with the bid award, we know what the project cost is, $52,950. ROI is just, you know, it's off the charts. It's more of a, it's end of life thing, and, you know, that kind of thing. We do get some efficiencies with it, so that's going to start pretty quick and probably end by mid-October, I'm hoping. The only other one there is County Center upgrading the exterior lights to LED. I don't know if some of you noticed when you walked in, they're right along here, especially, and across the front. A couple new fixtures out there already, but we've got the whole order in, and our electrician is whittling away at it, and he'll have that done before it gets too cold. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Mike on anything else? If not, we'll move on to Roger Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fire alarm system replacement project at the courthouse, it's substantially complete, and we had it signed off by the Kenosha Fire Department. We've got a few punch list items remaining, some documentation, things we need to tidy up, but we should have that all taken care of by the end of this month. There's no questions. We'll go on to the public safety building generator replacement. The work continues. The state needed some needs to inspect some updated revisions, some improved features we put into the project. So we had to send them some new drawings, get them stamped, and they'll be coming down for that inspection. Once we do that inspection, we can do a power test on the generator and do the final cutover and testing. We're targeting again the end of this month for completion of that project. If there's not any questions, we'll go on to the public safety building, second floor addition, and with the fleet maintenance building. The fleet maintenance building restoration was pretty significantly affected by all of the rain we got in July. It really hurt us with everything we had to do inside the building, all the soils and everything, and also saturating the soils. But we put the structural steel in last week on the interior of the building for the mezzanine. We're going to try to get the joists on this week on the top for the roof, start putting on the roof of the building. But again, the rains pushed us back about 3 to 4 weeks. We're still shooting for completion of the fleet maintenance building in October. And from that side, we go over to the public safety building, second floor. We've had a lot of HVAC ductwork going on there and related mechanical infrastructure build-outs, wall framing. So overall, we hope to make up that time in the schedule. We hope to, but we'll monitor it as it comes around. Also, we're right now looking just right at the budget. We're tracking right very close to it. Any questions? Thank you.
Any questions?
The courtroom?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? The courtroom. The one that they keep forgetting. I keep forgetting. We had a pre-construction meeting. We actually had two pre-construction meetings with Absolute Construction. They're very proactive. They seem to be very, very good contractors so far. Very proactive, going over all the prints, trying to find any gray areas. So we met with the architect and them. We're still looking at a mid-October start, so that's looking positive. And we had some good news. It appears that we are going to get a $5,000 check from Highlander on the bid bond, so that helps out. Any other questions?
Move on to highways. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The division has been seriously engaged these past four weeks dealing with the aftermath of the floods, and we've been doing repairs, culverts, driveways, and some filling ditches. We are also doing some also necessary repairs, maintenance that are also necessary while doing this work. We repaired over about concerning the flooding, we prepared over about more than 60, but I just like saying 60 because it gives me a cushion in the sense that we've done more than 60, but I would say 60, at least 60 repairs, including about seven major culvert replacements during this time. There are also six major culverts, which our division is not set up to do those type of repairs because of how deep they are. So we are getting contractors. As a matter of fact, I still have to confirm EA, which is closed in that area. Was supposed to be completed today, but I didn't get a chance to drive through to confirm that. Maybe on my way home, I'll drive there and make sure it's completed. Also distributed the map, just to give you a sense of how widespread the flooding, the impact of the flooding in the county as far as highway was concerned. Other than that, we are hoping that we're going to be resuming with a normal, going back to our paving program sometime next week. It's tentative, but hopefully we're going to start that all over again. And I'll keep this committee updated as we progress throughout the year. Any question on flooding?
I wanted to add something too, because each of the departments that was affected by the flooding is going to talk about the extent of it, but Jim at the end is going to give a financial kind of summary of what the actual costs were for all of that. So he'll be doing that at the end of the meeting.
Project updates, County Trunk Highway S project, specifically on H, is still working very closely with the city, BOA, FAA, with all the government agencies that you can think of. So we are working together. There's been some slow movement in the positive direction. This Thursday, we'll be meeting again to finalize, to try to come to a preferred alternative unanimously between the county and the city on how we're going to go about the intersection of S and H. And hopefully we're going to come up with some positive, constructive results. And also the DOT is also assisting us in, you know, developing whatever options that we might, you know, decide to use for that intersection or to install it at that intersection. And just last week, that was after this report was done, we got confirmation that they've extended the year instead for the project. So which means extending this year, the sunset date just simply means that the project has been extended 1 year. So because they're foreseeing that 2019 might not be feasible based on what we have on the table as far as challenges. Any question on that? County Trunk Highway E bridge is completed and the road is open right now. Unfortunately, E has been closed, so the whole area is still like in a locked up zone. But hopefully EA was open today and then that whole area will be accessible. However, actually L will be closed today because the Union Pacific Railroad has some maintenance work to do on that railroad, and so it will be closed today. And so we are still dealing with all these closures and trying to manage them to the best of our abilities. And it's causing a lot of strain on other highways. And we are trying to be hoping that in the next maybe 2 to 3 weeks, that area will be, all the roads will be open and the traffic will be much more manageable and we'll go back to what it used to be. Though still fast and maybe congested in some certain areas, they're not as bad as it is today. Any question on that?
Clement, I was just going to add, I got a note like right at the end of the day that EA is open today.
Okay.
They got it open, yeah.
Oh, did you? This is a good news, so EA is open. And then County Trunk Highway W, the project is progressing now constructively, and we've worked a solution to some of the concerns that the residents along the project had, and this, we've been getting some positive feedback, and so the project is moving along as it should. Still 3 weeks behind schedule, but they're hopeful that they're going to catch up with the schedule. So so the County Trunk Highway W is moving ahead as scheduled. The KCC fuel tank project, the project is substantially completed. The tank, the fuel station is being used as we speak. The old fuel station has been decommissioned. and we are in the process of restoring the area. And then County Trunk Highway JF, I just wanted, this is a new one, I just wanted to bring this one here because we'll be paving that, the country, we're going to be paving that using a contractor. We had bid open on the 26th, and we had two bidders, Ben and Dolan and Stark. Ben and Dolan was the apparent low bidder, and it has the bid value in front of you there. And we are hoping to start after September 5th. Having said that, the division is working very hard to improve communication so that we don't have the kind of challenges that we had in other projects. And then we start projects, State Trunk Highway 45 between State Line and Highway 50. Well, the project is very optimistic right now, the project team. I went there, drove the site, and the site still doesn't look too encouraging, but they are very optimistic because they are now working where they are doing the concrete part section of the road, and the asphaltic section, they already have binder down, and so that gives them some confidence that they could easily catch up, because they believe that concrete is much easier to be handled with difficult weather than asphalt. So they are hoping that they'll be able to catch up with the construction deadline. When it happens, then we'll report it again, but they are very hopeful.
I was just going to add, Clement, the H and Bain Station Road, I know you got it on here, but that did start.
Oh, yes.
Maybe how's that going?
I missed it. It's going very well. Well, still with it. We still have those construction challenges just at the start of the construction, trying to get everybody to fit in, the utility company trying to do their relocations, and the contractor trying to move forward. So well, that's the normal challenges that we have at the beginning of any project. However, they've been working through it, and we're hopeful that the project will progress as planned. Thank you very much. Then the other project that I didn't put in here, because these things happened after this report was written, we had a public information meeting regarding State Trunk Highway 45 from 50 to Highway 11. It's about 8 miles. It was designed for total reconstruction, but they've changed their mind, but the DOT has changed their mind, and they're doing just resurfacing. They're going to be resurfacing, widening the pavement width, and so that they could have some bike lanes. And so what they're simply going to do is that they're going to have 12 feet lanes, and then they're going to have 5 feet bike lanes, and then six foot shoulders, they'll have just 2 feet of shoulders. So, and they will take that all along the corridor. The public information went, there was only one incident about the fact that some people were promised that their properties would be acquired when it was a reconstruction. But unfortunately, it's no more the case. And it looks like they had planned based on that, and the impact to them is a little bit. They're having some severe negative impact as far as that negotiation is concerned. So he didn't explain it very well, but the DOT was planning to reach out to him much later and to get work with him to come to a resolution. Other than that, the public information meeting went well, and the project is scheduled to start in 2020. However, if they have money, it could be advanced 2019.
Very great.
It was my understanding that on the Highway 45 expansion north from 50 to Highway 11, that basically they ran out of money. They didn't have money to fund the infrastructure to the extent that they had originally planned. And they took out the roundabout that was proposed for, 142 and Highway 45, is that correct?
The roundabout was supposed to be at Highway K and
145.
Okay.
Was there one plan for 142 as well or not?
I think that one was planned, that's more recent though. I'm not sure about that one. I didn't ask too many questions about that.
That one was planned, but they took that one out early because of the opposition from the businesses right there.
Right.
But then the one at 60th, mm-hmm. and that one they just pulled up.
Yeah.
And so there is none, I don't think, right? There's no
roundabout. No, as far as this project, but the I was told that it's not off the table, but it's not part of this project.
Okay.
So it's an indirect way of telling you that except something, they have good funding, they have funding for the project, they might come there or they might not. So, but it's a safe way to place themselves. Well, it's not on the table right now.
Okay.
So it could go away or it could come back. If it comes back, you said, well, we never took it, but it was there.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not really an expansion. They're just adding bag lanes.
Right.
Yeah.
The other question I had was you mentioned County C, which will be closed in between D and 45.
Correct.
That's for a culvert replacement.
So emergency culvert replacement.
And that's an outside contractor that's doing that?
Yes.
What's the size of that one?
The size of that one, I think, is 48-inch pipe. However, it's not so much the size, it's how deep it is.
That's kind of beyond the scope of our public works department.
Correct.
But it goes deep, then you got to have bank stabilization, those boxes that they drop in.
Okay.
And we aren't set up to do that kind of work.
So what's the length of time expected on that project on Highway C?
Well, we're hoping that before this week runs out, we gave them 3 days. But knowing how these projects go, it might take 4 days. But we are hoping that they'll do it in 3 days. One of the challenges we are facing out there with this project, which is a little bit frustrating, is that the DNR is insisting for some very stringent measures to be placed, and that's increasing the cost, slowing down the project, but the water around the area is already contaminated because it's a flood. So I don't understand how we're going to be contaminating water that is already contaminated. Then we have to start putting all those bills, doing what, as they call it, the water stream bypass, and it's just slowing the project. They have to install those measures 24 hours before, pump it. I went there and I looked at it overnight. The generator is running and I'm looking at it. I'm like, you must be kidding me. You're pulling out this water, it's dirty. You clean it up and then you put it back where it's dirty. I don't understand. So, we are following all the rules and regulations. We don't want to get wet. Sometimes that's what is slowing down because we typically with those things we give them 2 days and it's done. But right now we have to meet those measures and so to give and take.
And that might have made sense before the big flood came to do that type of procedure, but now that the flood is there, it's
correct. That's how I look at it. But then the DNR doesn't look at it that way.
How did the culverts hold up on County D with the big rains? South of 50.
County D, south of 50. MB.
Yeah.
The culvert on MB just north of the roundabout he's talking about, or
yeah.
South? No. Okay. When you say culvert, you mean driveway culverts?
Well, the ones that were replaced under the roadway, there was four or five of them that were replaced earlier in the season.
To get ready for the restoration.
No, those culverts didn't have any issues.
Okay, so
most of the issues around MB were mainly driveway approaches,
okay.
Driveway culverts. And the county, if we could help, we'll help, because those were just some strange situation. We help most generally residents do install their culvert. But in these situations, where we saw that, I mean, you don't have a culvert, you can't get into your property and out, and if we can help, we just help, and then we move on.
But the ones under the roadbed, they were fine?
They were fine, yes.
That's all my question.
Thank you, Supervisor Gray. Anything else for Clement? If not, thank you, Clement. We'll move on to the Parks Division, Matt Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for those remarks at the beginning. So the first thing I have to report is on that anniversary celebration. So thank you for those that attended to see all the different activities that we planned on Saturday. And just to report back how successful we were with that Saturday Parks anniversary. In total, we had 13,000 people attend our anniversary event. Our original goal was 10,000. People kind of laughed and chuckled and said, yeah, right. So I'm happy to report back that we exceeded even my goal of 10,000 people was at Petrified Springs Park for that day. So in total, we had 26 interactive games and bounce houses for families free of charge, 18 different entertainers throughout the whole entire park, concessions from the beer garden, local Durangos, Kona Ice, and Drifters on the western side of the eye participated with that. And of course, you can't have a party without fireworks. So as a, I was even impressed with the firework display at the very end. So how we did that, we relied on a lot of partners, relied a lot on great park staff. I couldn't be more impressed with our team that we have with our parks division. From Joe Ranchel, the park superintendent, the man behind the scenes, making sure things are still going day in, day out, to even all the seasonal workers with, like you said, smiles on their faces, and really just wanted to have that passion and be part of our park celebration. So I couldn't say enough positive things about our team with the parks. But we had a huge advertising campaign, and it's not only advertising for our celebration, but it's advertising for Kenosha County and the wonderful parks that we have. So we put out digital billboards on I-94 and Highway 50, billboards on 75th Street and 60th Ave. We had Shepherd Express promote our anniversary party by having 100,000 digital impressions throughout the region. 1,100 print locations with advertising of our Kenosha County parks. Facebook had 18,574 impressions on our park system and that anniversary. Kenosha News, if you didn't see Sunday's paper, great write-up on our event, but they published two articles, put it in the Get Out section. Radio, we had 95.1 Will Rock. They gave us free commercials leading up to the event. AM 1050 put out commercials for us. We had on-air interviews, live broadcast, and also did a live broadcast from WGTV. So I think people really, if they don't know what we offer for our parks in our community, now they do. So big special thanks to all of our sponsors too. We really were knocking on a lot of local doors in order to make that happen. And we received over $12,000 in sponsorships to make that this party happen too. So it really was a team effort, a community effort in order to pull that one off. So I'm extremely impressed, very smooth event, no hiccups to report on that one. So like I said, smiling faces all around. So thank you. Moving on to Kemper Center, we had our roof replacement project for the Faulkner and South Cloister. So bids came in. The lowest bid was set at $46,350, so that was attached with the bid tabulation on that project. They have up until around November to get that completed this year. So I think having the wiggle room and the flexibility to push that off and fit that small project in, we got very competitive bids even later in the year just by having that flexibility with the timeline. As everyone's been reporting on flood impacts on the parks, the two highest impacted parks were Pets and Fox River Park, of course, since they abut our rivers along the Pike and Fox River. So it took a long time for that river to really get down in size, and therefore we had a lot of grass that died along the Fox River Park that we're going to have to overseed and or reseed, I should say. A lot of our trails got washed out. If it wasn't a paved surface, we had to redo a lot of trail work at Katy Park, Silver Lake Park, and Pets and Fox River. Moving on to Petrified Springs Park with the barn demo, just an update that we finalized the contractors. They're all the way out in Shell Lake, so they drove 4.5 hours just to take a look at that barn. Again, they bought it for $6, so I said, take it. So making a profit, we were estimating that would cost $25,000 in demo fees to get that thing down. So if they want to pay us for it, that's great, and they're going to be able to repurpose the majority of that barn and resell it off up north. So that's going to start in August after their insurance is cleared. So that's only a minor hurdle to jump over, is just insurance paperwork, just to make sure we're covered with that project. Silver Lake Park, we had Discover Wisconsin, which is exciting. Highlight Silver Lake Park mountain bike trails. unfortunately for me, it was on August 4th, the day before the anniversary event, but our not-for-profit arm of Kenosha County Parks Soda organization, it's a mountain bike organization, was able to go on camera and speak highly about our 10 miles of mountain bike trails over at Silver Lake Park. So I don't have a date, but when I find out the date of when that's going to air, I'll make sure to let the committee members know about that one as well. And I forgot to hand out pictures, so I'll do so now. Here's some pictures of our youth bike and trail riding camp that happened over at Silver Lake Park. So that was a great partnership. I'm also handing over pictures of our anniversary event that I was just speaking about as well. But the youth bike and trail riding camp was a huge success. It's another free clinic that's brought by a local guy, Dave Bender, who's the coach for Central High School. So like any good coach does, you try to get him at a young age. So this was a good opportunity for him to have free clinics and get people and kids excited about mountain biking in the region. And hopefully they stay with it because there's a lot of opportunities for sports. So they try to get them at an early age excited about mountain biking. Next thing I have is a park intern. We're highly successful at recruiting interns to work for our parks division. So we already have an energetic one that actually is doing it even pro bono before her semester started. She knocked on her door from Parkside and said, hey, I want to do it even this summer before the fall semester begins. So she's already been a critical asset to what we do, helping out with new designs, flyers. She was there taking those pictures. She actually works on the side doing wedding photography. So I said, I'll sign her up for the anniversary event to take pictures while she's there too. Pringle Nature Center, you can see that's a attached program participation along with our upcoming events are on there. So summer's really not slowing down for parks whatsoever. So even though we had our anniversary event, we still are offering a lot of free activities throughout the rest of the summer and fall and probably into winter. So that's a list of different activities throughout our park system, along with our July attendance numbers. Unfortunately, with the weather, we did have to cancel a handful of those events. So that's the only kicker that, you know, we can only do so much with the weather conditions that we had this last July. So hopefully we get into our drought season soon enough. Other than that, I think I had some attached pictures of flooding on there, and that's all I have.
Any questions there, Greg?
I think he's got one more thing. Where are you going to be tomorrow morning? 8:30.
Oh, didn't know if I was going to share there. But I'm going to be over at Wausau. I'm going to take a road trip starting around 4:30 in the morning. We had the committee and the county board approve the submission of what's called the Recreation Boating Facility Grant. And this was for KD Park with what we consider phase two expansion. So we finished the parkway, parking lots, stormwater retention features. So tomorrow I have to do what Ray considers Shark Tank and go into a panel of a 5-member committee for the Wisconsin Waterway Commission to present our RVF application. So just for a reminder of what we applied for, was our boat launch, because right now it stops right at that parking lot where there's a turnaround. So it'll be paving to make an actual boat launch for our lake. I'll push in here. It's 6 parking stalls that wraps around that parking lot as well for trailer parking, and then a restroom facility. So we were ranked number one for the state as far as our application goes. So that gives a lot of credit to, again, our parks team, never an eye on this one. We have a great grant writer, Nancy Brittana, that truly has stepped up to the plate and really learned the nuances of grants, because it does take a lot to do that. So tomorrow, bright and early, we'll be able to, and this is pretty fast for the state, but after we all present for Inland and also Lake Michigan, both projects, we'll be able to find out what our funding source is, and they approve it on the spot, pending the state budget that's obviously looming and hasn't been approved yet. So they're working off of previous year's awards from the last 5 years. So there's over $1 million in the Inland Lakes supposedly approved funding if the state approves it. So there's $1 million out there for these projects. So I guess wish me luck. Look.
Yes. Where's the pier going? Silver Lake Park?
I'm sorry, KD Park. So that one's way out west, it's our westernmost park. So if you're Highway 50, and you go straight west, you're gonna basically get on that K corner of 352nd Avenue, County Highway KD.
Okay.
You're gonna go left, so you're gonna be going southbound, and you'll intersect KD Park. It's right across from New Munster Wildlife Sanctuary. So if you haven't been there, check it out. It's a beautiful park. You feel like you're up north. It's a great feeling.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Had a wonderful time at the celebration, in case you couldn't tell, I was having a good time when you spoke. You mentioned 13,500 people. That's an estimate. How'd you come up with that number? I mean, I didn't see anybody clicking or going through turnstiles. How'd you come up with that number?
I asked Joe Ranchel to reset our car counters bright and early that day.
Oh.
So we have car counters on each end of the park. So we had, it was 3,300 and some odd cars, vehicles that passed there. And we also had Western Kenosha County Transit. We had parking, overflow parking at Parkside that filled up. We had our County Highway JR parking lot. So I times that number by four because there was a lot of families and groups and plus the overflow that was bringing shuttle buses in. So that's pretty realistic of what we got throughout the day.
Cool.
And speaking of those car counters, our average for car counters 10 years ago was 3,000. Now we did that within a day. And even this year alone, with what we're receiving for our car counters, our highest car count previous to last year was 8,000. We've surpassed that 8,000 on a weekly basis this entire season. So our new record is, I think, 16,000 this last week for car counters. So that just shows how popular this park has gone. Wow. From 3,000 10 years ago to now our new record of over 16,000.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's the pretzels.
It's the pretzels. I would say it's probably
highly addictive salt.
It takes two people to carry one. That's really great.
Just a comment, you know, we've had more reports about the festivities this past weekend at Pets. But, you know, you really have to look at this in perspective, in the sense that this was Pets 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. So all this had to be cleaned up, made proper, put in order so a celebration could occur. And it's not something one person does by themselves. It's obviously a team effort for all Public Works, all your staff, and so forth. And it takes a coordinator to do it. So, I mean, that's really, you know, something to be proud of to look at the direction it's gone. Furthermore, it would be easy for the county, or at least less work, to just reach into your pockets and provide this as a celebratory festivity. But in this case, the amount of sponsorship that was done by private enterprise coming into the park and sponsoring this event, that event, this attainment, that event, I mean, that really is a further evidence of everybody pulling in the same direction. So that, I think, bodes well for us in the future, and I think everyone should be just apprised of, you know, the nature of how this thing works. That's my comment.
Anything else for Matt? About that, thank you very much. Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In golf operations, our next big incentive is the Kenosha County Executive Cup. We have a 18-hole tournament with lunch, 18 holes of golf, dinner, and then prizes. We are also getting quite a few donations for that. It all goes to support junior golf in Kenosha County. Our junior golf program this year totals about 160 different youth that are getting involved with all of our programs. Right now we got a week-long program going, and then we have our culmination of our eight-week clinic going, plus we just had a culmination of our two PGA Junior Leagues. So a lot of junior golfers, a lot of future of the game coming up and coming through our programs, and this Kenosha County Executive Cup really supports that, so we're looking forward to that day. Like you said, the junior clinics are wrapping up. We had our parent-child tournament for the junior clinics yesterday, and we had over 80 youth and adults come for a parent-child event, you know, and played nine holes on the red nine, and then had a Massatoli a dinner in the clubhouse afterwards, and really enjoyed having that event there, and they did a great job with the food service and organizing the event, and everybody seemed to really have a good time yesterday. So to have 80 parent children teams come out and play, that was really a nice number, I thought. The Kenosha County Open was July 21st through the 3rd. We had 56 golfers try and crown the best golfer in the county. Travis Engel won for the third time. We partnered with the Kenosha News, and they did a lot of advertising to fill the field, a lot of good publicity, and then they did quite a few articles in the sports section for that. So it really gave us some good exposure, you know. And then the winners are listed on your page. Zach Kramer won 8th flight. Andy Finley won B flight. And then we had a Ladies County Open. It started at Petrifying Springs, and then it went over to Twin Lakes. And Andy Smith won that for the second year in a row. The Caddy and Leadership Academy is wrapping up August 15th. So if anybody wants to play with a caddy, you got to get out to Brightondale either Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And it's going well. The move from Petrifying Springs has really been positive. It's got caddies out on the golf course a lot more often, and that was our goal. And we will be having our wrap-up party for the caddies and their families September 3rd. It really does show the growth of these youth in the program themselves, to actually get up in front and tell their story from the summer and show how they've interacted with the adults and how they've grown throughout the summer and what they've learned being a caddy. So it's really a rewarding banquet that we're going to have on September 3rd. And then our golf course conditions, I mean, I just can't tell you how much people are raving about the Petrifying Springs golf course this year. Best comments I've ever heard about Petrifying Springs, and this is my 9th season, you know, operating that. And so Lori Stanek definitely deserves a lot of credit for that, and her crew. We very much enjoy hearing all those comments. The flood, we were shut down for a couple days. We're walking only, a couple days to get well, or actually waiting only, I should say, to get through the waters to get around there. But nothing like the devastation at Brightondale Links. I mean, we're still kind of suffering that devastation. We were basically shut down like from the 10th, even a little bit before, from that big rain on Sunday, all the way through the 24th in some form. You know, finally the 25th, I think we had all 45 holes back open again. And we still have turf that is dead, and you know, we have the smell of the decaying turf, so it's still affecting our business levels over there. So you know, we're working to try and get that reseeded and taken care of as quickly as possible. Like I said, there was about 6 to 12 acres that really have, you know, major damage that we're working on. All the crew is pitching in and trying to do everything we can to recover. You know, I was just impressed, you know, with the amount of play that we've had even since then. In fact, August, we're up a little bit. It was really something. Like, look back at the rounds, and the rounds were, you know, like 16 rounds different between 2015 and 2016 for the month. We had 16 rounds different, so over 4,700 rounds for the month. In those 2 years, and then about 2,400 rounds we lost in those 2 weeks because of the flood. So over half of the rounds that we do out there. So yeah, it's great to see everybody pitch in and work hard, but it's really devastating to lose all those rounds in that amount of time. So.
And we can update a little bit from when we put the report together last week. We got word from Barna, who takes care of all the insurance, We will not be getting covered by business interruption insurance for this, disappointingly, because it will be definitely, based on our estimates, a six-figure loss of revenue, six-figure plus.
Right.
So it's going to be tough to make up, very tough to make up.
Well, do what we can. We'll put forth the best effort and doing a lot of different advertising in Illinois and Milwaukee, and so we'll see.
Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did the insurance company say why we were denied?
Yeah, so it's kind of like that ad, in fact, I brought this up to Barna, the Geico ad where zombie apocalypse is covered, but kind of other stuff isn't. So in
so
that...
too much rain is not covered?
It's an act of God. So if the business interruption had been... Tell me where I'm wrong on this, Jim, but if the business interruption had been by arson, somebody started a fire and burned something up, that's covered. But if the lightning had struck the building or damaged, of course, in this case, water, an act of God, business interruption insurance doesn't cover it.
Basically doesn't cover flood. If the building would have been damaged, it would have covered the building, because the building, that's your source of, supposed to be your source of revenue.
Sure.
We made the case that the golf course is the course of, source of revenue, but it doesn't fly. We're not covered for flood. We tried to beat them up, and you're an insurance people here. I mean, we tried to negotiate a reason with them, but no such luck.
How often, I mean, I realize what we went through was, you know, kind of once in a lifetime or decade or maybe five decades, but how often are operations interrupted by, you know, significant rain events?
Well, Rich Heinrich has been with us for over 30 years, and he said this is the second time that he's seen this type of rain.
So it probably doesn't make sense to go out and try to find something to cover you if this was a once in a 30-year event.
In the meeting we had, Barna was still tasked with at least getting a quote just to see what it is. We're figuring it's going to be outrageous, but he was tasked with figuring that out, getting a quote just to see what it cost.
And he hasn't gotten the quote yet?
No, we just had that meeting on Friday, I think, when we met to go over that.
So you guys are happy with, I mean, I shouldn't say happy, but with the response from the insurance company, you believe that? I mean, I know how insurance companies work. Sometimes they'll deny, deny, deny. But you believe what they're saying to be true 100%, where there's no, we don't need lawyers or somebody to get involved and push back a little bit?
So,
yes.
Okay.
I get quite animated.
Do I give you a real?
Oh, I don't either. I just you're satisfied.
I can get quite animated on these kind of topics because my thought of with insurance company basically
with the discussion we had behind the closed door, me and him was quite different from what we're saying.
Yes, because I don't have any trust in any. My basic philosophy with insurance companies is the person you're talking with is the person. Their job is to attempt to not pay what is legitimately owed you.
That's, I agree.
When you operate from that principle, and that's how I operate, and when I started to go off on Barna a little bit, he's like, you're not going to be able to get it. So I trust Barna's knowledge of this stuff, so he's pretty good insurance guy.
The act of God is what they say. The only thing you can do effectively, and I mean, I did it successfully one time, which is rare, you go to the state insurance board. Your insurance company, you can go to it here. Jim, you probably know about that, but I did.
Did you got success too?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. I had a tree fall on my home. In fact, I woke up to a oak branch about like that looking at me through my cathedral ceiling. But it was from the neighboring property owned by the town. And the town sent a crane, when I called them, to get that tree off my house. So they had admitted that it was their tree at that point, but they didn't admit that about a month earlier I had told them about this creaking noise from the tree. They said I had never mentioned this to them, so Wausau Insurance denied the claim. So naturally I paid for it and had to get it, but they had set a precedent by calling this crane. So I was told, I was very angry because I had told them. And they lie. Town of Randall officials, it's the town I live in, they lie. And so I was irritated. And they said, well, you can go to the state insurance board. I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And they found in my favor, and then Wausau Insurance had to pay up. So there is such a thing as the state insurance board. If you are denied, then you can
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I know flood's different than a lot of other stuff.
But when you buy a business interruption policy, for them to say, oh, the grounds aren't covered, my ass, the grounds are what we get out.
Right. That's the way I read the policy, too.
We could run, if Dan had the grounds open, he could rent grounds out of a tent. Right. We don't need the building.
Yeah.
So, I mean, different people might see this differently. And that, the insurance board is independent. They're not insurance people. You know, it's like having a separate group of judges look at something. Might be worth.
It's worth a look. We'll look into it.
Yeah. But I'm sure we're talking a couple hundred thousand now.
Right. It's not 20 grand. It's a six figure.
Yeah.
Definitely north of 100 grand.
Yeah. Anything else for Dan? Bill?
What do you do if you're dead, devitalized, hurt? What's the remedy? How do you fix it?
Well, there's a couple different ways of doing it, but what we're looking at right now is we're looking at roughing it up a little bit and then slit seeding it and fertilizing it and destroying it and waiting for Mother Nature to grow the grass.
Really couldn't throw it outside for 6 to 12 acres.
Right, that would be a little bit of sun.
Anything else? Thank you very much, Dan. Ray.
Update on the Brookside project has been pretty straightforward. The demo work now is, I'm going to say, if not 100% complete, 99.9% complete on the old building. Reconstruction activities are in full swing. The 300 wing, which is the wing that is going to connect the old and the new, and that's the wing that will house all of the rehabilitation and physical therapy stuff. It's pretty well completely framed out, and most of the infrastructure, mechanical and electrical infrastructure, is in that part of the building as well. Other parts of the building are catching up now. Probably one of the biggest things is that the courtyard in between the new and the old should be done, weather depending, in the next probably 2 weeks. And that will allow, it's really looking beautiful. They haven't even have any plants in, but just putting the walkways and some of the rest areas. The design of that is going to be the therapeutic garden. There's going to be raised gardens that folks can actually work on. And the main thing is it's going to give a place for the folks to get out of the building safely. Right now they're pretty much limited to just going out the front of the building on the west side and going in the parking lot and stuff. Not ideal. So that will change radically in the next 2 weeks, where the residents will be able to go out into a very nice, really nice area, and a much safer area for them to be in. That's happening. Ongoing operations. I know that there was a number of employees that showed up to a couple of the board meetings now to mention a few things that they were unhappy about, and there was four or five supervisors that showed up unannounced, not last week, but the week before, and just went to Fran and said, okay, we want a tour to see everything. I don't remember who all it was. I wasn't there, but they took a full tour, looked into all of the things that had been mentioned at the board meetings, and I don't know if they gave reports at the most recent board or not, but they were there for an hour, hour and a half, and they were all satisfied that things were more accurately portrayed by what they saw than what they had heard. So that was my understanding. I wasn't there, but Fran relayed that to me. So you may want, if you have any concern, follow up with, I think it was Ron Frederick, Andy Berg, I think John O'Day, because he sits on the Board of Trustees. And there was at least two others, and I just don't remember who they were, but they checked it out. So operations is still an ongoing thing. It's still going to be great when we finish the whole thing and get people back, so we don't have people double bunked. This will be a good thing. So they still struggle with having kind of double the number of folks in the space that we've
when
got.
When will that be? Do you know when it'll go back to single occupancy?
Yeah, we haven't gotten a firm projection on that, but I'm going to say it's going to be probably around March 1st, month of March next year is what the plan was. The original was it was going to be somewhere between 10 and 12 months, and it's probably going to be about, right now I'm thinking it'll be sometime in March next year. But we're going to push, because Fran brings it up at every progress meeting every week, that she wants it done like by October, because she wants to get folks back to the way it should be. So that's pretty much what's going on there right now. Department report, really the big thing was the flood remediation and related activities affected pretty much all the divisions. Facilities, fortunately, I think of all the buildings, we had a minor roof leak in, at Brookside there was one, and I don't know if there was even a...
There was one here, but they fixed it right away.
And that was it. So really everything worked the way it was supposed to. Probably one of the really good things at Brookside, we did some fairly state-of-the-art rain gardens and retention ponds, bioswales and things. All those things took all that rain and worked exactly the way they were supposed to. So that was actually probably as good a test as we're ever going to have of that kind of thing. But everybody, all the departments have been tied up to some extent with what was going on as a result of the flood. The only remaining issues we have from a highway standpoint are really, there's a couple, less than a handful of people that are still have some issues. And typically it's either a result because they're in a jurisdictional kind of situation where maybe we don't have jurisdiction to help them out. It might be the municipality. They live in a wetland. So there's a number of things that are still in that way. But most all of the really complicated stuff that needed attention got dealt with as quickly as possible. To shift gears, the detention center building, that storage building for the sheriff that we've been trying to, that we had planned on starting in the month of June, we're still working with the city to get permitting issues resolved. Right now, I'm targeting an 8/14 start date next Monday to actually start moving earth. The contractor's been lined up and ready to go. We are about 6 weeks behind schedule with that, though, based on some of the permitting stuff we've had to kind of work through. So hopefully, I was down there Friday and I met with Brian Wilkie and a number of the other public works people, and I'm hoping that was enough to get things where it needs to go so we can get the green light to start that project, because it actually impacts a project that Frank's working on, which is the PSB. In order to vacate that fleet maintenance area on the west side of the building where all the medical examiner is going to go, well, the vehicle investigation portion for the sheriff's is going to be in the new detention center building. So in order for that to all be facilitated, that we've got to have that building complete, hopefully by the end of October. So that's pretty much everything from report-wise. I was going to have Jim, though, go over the financial impact and what we've taken, because there's a lot of time spent independent and also working with some of the FEMA folks over the past few weeks to come up with calculations of what the impact was to public works. We don't have the sheriff in it, it's just our stuff. This is just
Public Works, Highway, Golf, Parks. Let's wait until everybody gets the... 2 weeks ago today, the Wisconsin Emergency Management folks came in. We sat right in this room and talked to them and our own emergency management people. And FEMA came in last Monday or Tuesday and did their investigation. What this page is, in yellow on there, there's three columns of numbers. All the yellow numbers are highway numbers. The green numbers are parks and golf numbers. When we did the highway stuff, we broke it out right away the day that the flooding started back on the 12th. We create job numbers in our systems and we track labor and machinery and materials job by job. I think Clement said there were 60. There was closer, including the state highways. I think it was like 88 individual instances plus five or six culverts. 99. Then you were short by a few. So there was a lot of number crunching going on for a few days. And this is what we reported to FEMA. The summary was about $622,000. The only thing that's not in here is the reseeding that we would have to do for Dan. And that's like 50 or 60 grand, because if FEMA would not cover that, we calculated the number, but they don't pay for grass seed, and I think there was some for parks too. I can't remember the number, but. And then in the highway side, we split between state roads that we do work on. We only incurred $33,000 worth of expenses on state roads, but the county roads were $589,000. Out of that number, if you go to, there's an item there called contracted culvert repairs. I think there's six, a couple of them are really big, total up to $300,000. So the bad news is we had to spend a lot of money, but the good news is I think we made out better than some other counties, and we cleaned up really fast. So that's the number that we read that Kenosha County for Public Works reported to FEMA for what they call public damage. There was a whole nother set of numbers that I don't know what they were for individual damage. That's for people who had their own individual problems or had businesses. That numbers were all gathered together and submitted to FEMA also. I think our staff in planning and development had a lot to do with crunching out those numbers. This was all the highway guys, and they worked a lot of overtime to fix all this stuff really quickly, and then our staff kind of putting everything together, along with Bill Oliver, our supervisor, Grady. I already thanked the Parks Department because it was nice. If some of the pictures, Matt's got some pictures of the river, you could not see the road. That was just a fast-moving river. And then a week later, we had events there. And Dan, I don't know how you guys cleaned up. I was at some other golf courses going up the sides of some of their rivers. They had like 4 foot of mud. You could see it on where it all went down. So I'm assuming that's what ours looked like too. So I'm not sure what those individual numbers were. We submitted everything to FEMA. You guys probably all read the paper. The three county area of Walworth, Kenosha, and Racine, I think the target number, if you can call it that, was like 8.1 or 8.2 million. Yeah. In order, the accumulated costs of like this number here are $622,000, plus our individual, plus Walworth's public and individual, and Racine's public and individual. I don't even think the last number I heard, we weren't even up to 5 million yet. But they're still counting, and FEMA, I don't know that they've given us an official Gladiator down, but I don't think it's looking good, but don't hold me to that. That was last Friday when we met with the county executive, and that's the latest update he had. So we're hoping that maybe we can get some relief. If not, we'll just, there's one, we are going to, there's a state agency that's, we've reported these numbers to also. We might be able to get some funding back from them, but we haven't heard that either. And the DOT is doing that.
You know, I don't think Kenosha County could have done any more than we did. And thank you to the Kenosha News and all the press. They just kept beating it into people's heads. Here's how you can report this. Here's how you can report this. Here's how you can report this. And do you know, I personally know four people that didn't report anything that have, maybe the one guy's got $20,000, the other guy's got over $150,000 worth of damage. I have 18 acres on a Black River. I grew up there. We don't live there anymore, but we have the property. So, I mean, I've seen and I know these people. These were neighbors. And one at least has $150,000 worth of damage. And I asked him, I told Ray, when we met before this meeting, I said, well, you reported to him. He said, no, I don't know what the carpet's going to cost. And I'm like, Jesus. So there's a lot of people. And I know you read the paper. Every article was, here's how to do it. You'd see it from our staff every day, begging people. And so I know it doesn't sound like we're going to hit it. So then you get these poor people in Silver Lake and Wheeling that lost everything.
Yeah.
And they could, they're not going to be given gifts, but they could get low interest loans. You know, like if you were doing a Habitat for Humanity type deal. That's what you get. You get a 2% loan or whatever. You can. No, we're not going to qualify because people didn't respond to a lot of this. But the county couldn't have done more. And the TV stations and the radio, I mean, I saw it just beated it. And I still can't believe. I personally know it, at least four people that had huge, and they didn't report it, you know.
Well, we'll hope that something changes, or maybe they come up with it, but right now, I'm not holding my breath. I don't know if you've heard anything different in the last day or anything.
No, not since Friday.
I mean, if you saw Burlington, and they can't come up with $8 million, I don't know what the heck. You know, I mean, you had commercial buildings. One of the banks I deal with that was underwater, the McDonald's. This stuff's not cheap to fix. I don't know how they can't come, you know. People just not respond.
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's kind of shocking, really. I thought the amount of stuff that was visible the next 2 days after that, you would have thought, if this isn't a disaster, I don't know what is. But
people at Silver Lake said, are they crazy? When they heard the amount, the one woman and this Dunsky guy that was in the news yesterday, that he was out there helping, and they had a big fundraiser yesterday in New Munster. He said, I saw at least 30 homes that are totally lost. You know, and they were saying 14, you know, that were reported. He said, I saw at least 30 that are stud to stud, you got a ripple, gone. You know? At a minimum, when we buy flood damaged property, it's $100,000 by the time we relocate, right? There's $3 million right there.
Well, if we hear anything more official, we'll just send on an email, but I haven't heard nothing from our emergency or state emergency management, Kenosha emergency management. Other than it doesn't look good.
Oh, you won't hear anything for quite a while.
Right. I'm thinking. They were out here. Actually, they were in that room last week. All last week, there was about a dozen FEMA folks that basically were in there all day long. And they were just typing on computers, entering data, I guess.
Right. Deleting data.
Deleting data.
I was going to report some stuff on my land, but I know it was an acting cop. You know, so, you know, because I experienced some costs.
You can't tell us intimate family members work for FEMA. Any of your intimate family?
No. Okay. I have a question. So do we have to, like, reach that $8 million in order to get to, like, cheap loans? Or?
Basically.
Okay.
I mean, that's a simplistic way for me to explain it. But, yes, for people to be able to apply for benefits, they're not giving you anything. But you can get some help, and it's usually in a loan.
Oh, okay.
So if you don't hit that, you don't hit their threshold then. And so then none of it counts when you're just at the mercy of your own community. And this community responded. I mean, in a large scale.
I'm not much of a Facebooker, but I did go on, and every politician just had all kinds of stuff on there letting people know where they could go for help. I mean, it was, like you said,
it was pounded in.
They couldn't not know what to do.
Exactly. I'm not talking about idiots either. These people I talk to, I don't want to say their names, because that'd be embarrassing for you to know their names. Intelligent, successful people.
Maybe they had flood insurance. Maybe they had a different company.
No, they don't. No, they don't. No, they don't. They just... we're busy and going, oh, yeah, I'm not sure what it's going to cost me yet. But there's a deadline. You have to, you'll help all your neighbors if you will report this $150,000. And they didn't do it. So anything else from anyone?
That's pretty much it. That's everything from my end, yeah.
I just want to follow up on this meeting through the chair if you prefer. Dennis, both Supervisor Washington and Clinton. When we take a look at this County S and County H intersection, which is relatively contentious, are we on the same page with the city? I mean, are we basically pulling the same direction, or is there some differential between the county and the city as it relates to this project?
Right now, we are working together. I'll give you my take.
Yeah.
The city position is, they don't care which solution you come up with. They want a solution that also gives them the option of extending their runway. Whatever solution that you come up with, that is fine. But BOA has some other options that they are trying to propose, that this is how you can make it work. And so that is what a joint review team will be, the county consultant and Midhat, who could design the airport, working for the city and BOA. We are all working together to look at all the various options and to present a view, I'll say a you know, united front when we present the document to FAA. So right now we are putting that effort together. In the past, what we have been doing is we do our report, what we think is reasonable, and then send it to BOA, and BOA will have to contact the city to review. So right now we are working together, which I think is a positive. We are going in the positive direction.
Yeah, it almost really doesn't matter, as Clement said, what the solution is. The city, if the solution is anything but relocating that intersection, then the city has to oppose it. Because if they don't oppose it, then they might be on the hook to replace that intersection if the FAA says that intersection needs to go someplace else. But if the city does oppose it and the FAA gives the county the blessing to keep everything as is, and then 3 years down the road when the runway gets expanded and the FAA says, no, this intersection has to go away, then that's on the Fed's dime,
okay,
not anybody else's dime.
So it's a little bit of political football.
It's a lot of political football.
It's political football, but one thing that we do know right now, without going in depth, is we're in the best position we've been in through this process.
Right,
right now, we're starting to get in a very good position. So where the construction will be able to occur, the city will be happy, the airport will be happy, and the feds will be happy.
So we're meeting this Thursday in Brookfield. And the city has a very powerful representation, the county. I'm representing the county with the county consultant. And then we have the representative from BOA and BOA. There's not FAA at this time.
Okay.
Because we are doing the document to present to FAA. And we sincerely believe that when we come up with a preferred alternative, the FAA will not find it hard to approve it because they will be confident that the representative are taking a close look at it, and it's not just from the county, because what we did in the past was just that this is what the county is proposing, and they think that the county is only presenting situations where it favors the county, and so
it's now the consortium that's actually going to present.
Correct.
To.
So whatever solution we're going, that's what the city, the county, and BOA, we all agree that this is the preferred alternative.
Sounds good.
Anything else, Ray?
No.
If not, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Supervisor Bosch, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.